Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the times we're in. I'm John Iadarola, joined today on the program by the president of the Waldorf Nation, Jeff Waldorf. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you here.
Good to be here at the end times.
Exactly. We are living in times that are shocking, and as people have pointed out on Twitter, precedented. We are living in precedented times. And so we will, of course, be talking about the big news story of the day. And I'm going to guess at least the week. It's going to be the big news story of at least the week. And that'll, of course, be the invasion of Ukraine. But Jeff, very glad to have you here because we got a lot of other important stuff to talk about as well through the course of the next 90 minutes or so. We're going to be talking about the multi-pronged attack on the trans community here inside of the United States. We've got cops behaving badly. We definitely have Texas Governor Greg Abbott behaving badly across a wide spectrum of topics. So if you're not a fan of Republicans and especially not a fan of Greg Abbott, you're going to enjoy today's program. We also, unfortunately, will be talking about Candace Owens. That's much later in the program, so that'll be coming up later. Please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already so that people know we're live. With all that said, Jeff, we have a lot to talk about. So are you ready to do this thing?
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it with this.
Russia has declared war on Ukraine. That as soon as the declaration.
There you go.
Oh, that's a missile. That's a missile. That's a missile.
That was one of those like,
holy.
So in that video, you have a reporter being shocked by a specific missile flying overhead, sort of mirroring how I think many people process the news of last night. If you were like me, you were on Twitter and you realized, oh, it's happening. It's happening now. This thing that we apparently now with hindsight have been building towards for weeks and also the groundwork of it for years at this point. But it has happened. The invasion of Ukraine, beyond just declaring the independence of a couple of disputed territories and promising to send in peacekeeping forces. No, missiles were sent in, bombs were sent in, helicopters, tanks, and troops were sent in. We're gonna have more footage as well as more details. But Jeff, tell me a little bit about your reaction as this was developing.
Well, I mean, first, let me just say that I wanna have solidarity with the Ukrainian people that are stuck in the middle of this. I'm gonna say that I was originally quite skeptical that this was actually gonna happen. And then when it happened, it's like, oh, so that happened. It was real, oh no. And look, let me just ask you a quick question here. When you heard about this, I should say to the lead up of this, were you also a bit skeptical? I mean, reports coming out of like the State Department and things like that, and knowing the United States' propensity for this rhetoric, especially when we talk about going back to 2016 and how it's been Russia, 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 Russia. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. And then suddenly in Ukraine, the wolf showed up. And so it was kind of a shock to a lot of us, I think, on the left that like we vastly underestimated Putin's, mindset when it came to invading Ukraine, and that he had actually had this planned for what seems to be quite some time.
Yeah, exactly. And might potentially have plans beyond that, which we'll turn to shortly. I will say, I did not expect that an all-out invasion would actually happen. I was pretty clear about that. I've also been much more importantly clear that I am by no means an expert on Ukraine or Eastern Europe. There are areas that I think I have a good amount of knowledge in. This is not one of them. That said, it might be that I didn't buy it as much, but for different reasons than you, potentially. Or and I don't want to misconstrue what you're saying there. I didn't think it would happen because it would be so significant and potentially economically damaging as well as damaging in terms of the international relationship of Russia. It wasn't that I didn't think it was going to happen necessarily specifically because I didn't trust what Biden or the State Department was saying. Obviously, you should not necessarily trust what the president, the State Department, the CIA or anything says, especially in matters of war. But it was a little bit harder for me to totally discount what they were saying when, at least in this case, there were well over 100,000 troops that had been moved to a border. That is a little bit harder to totally discount than, no, we've got a photo and I swear under this little gray bump, there's a nuclear weapon. It's a little bit more real. That said, I didn't think it would happen. And now it is happening and it is real. As you said, solidarity with the Ukrainian people, some of which have already died. Families have lost people. They're saying at least 40 soldiers killed. I am going to throw out another prediction that hopefully will turn out to be as wrong as all of my others, that when you bomb multiple airports, military bases, like you did not kill just 40 people. So that number is almost certainly going to go up. In terms of civilian deaths, I know that people have been fleeing from the city centers. There was a massive traffic jam moving out of the capital of Kiev last night. And it is very real. It is something that we get to debate and that others get to debate in an even stupider and griftier way. But it is real for those people, those who have already died, those who will die, those who right now are terrified about the future of their country.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of reports of, you know, the runs on gas stations and supplies for people that are trying to flee towards more, you know, towards NATO, basically, the borders of the NATO countries. And so it always, speaking of, you know, some of the people who I guess didn't quite buy that this was going to happen, and they were saying like, well, you know, or even were supporting Putin's move. And we've certainly seen some of that from some of the bad hot takes on Twitter especially. But okay, so they're going into a place where you know, they say, well, we don't like NATO on our borders. You're gonna go invade a country that's even closer to NATO. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Weird.
First yeah, stage. Well,
again, it suggests to me that this was in planning for quite some time and that it really wasn't, that argument doesn't seem to hold a lot of water.
Yeah, or at the very least, I've been saying for a long time, it can't be the entirety of it. It can be a component, potentially. I don't think that that is the wholly genuine account of why Vladimir Putin wanted to do this. In any event, as we've been saying, we want to make sure that you understand this is real. So I want to play a little bit more video footage. There's a lot going around. I am trying to restrict ourselves to stuff that seems very carefully vetted as being true. In days like this, misinformation, including video misinformation, is rife. So tread carefully. But that said, here is a little bit more footage.
Вже штук 20 пролетіло. Не видно українського герба. Точно російські. Прямо над хатами. Прямо ось над хатами літають, падли. Полетіли в сторону аеропорта, бомблять аеропорт, чути, що йде бій. Вже штук 30 нарахував точно.
Okay, so there's a lot of footage of explosions from last night, missiles flying overhead, troop movements, as well as you know, wreckage on the ground, everything. We do want to zoom out just a little bit. I want to show you a map. It's one of the better maps that I've seen to give an idea of the scale of this. This is not simply an invasion of Eastern Ukraine. They have hit a variety of points effectively over the entire geographic expanse of Ukraine, including some of the most heavily populated areas. I want to give you just a little bit of what Putin was saying at the time. He gave a speech timed seemingly specifically for when the first missiles would hit, saying that he is ordering troops into Ukraine, but made clear his target goes beyond this to America's quote empire of lies. And he threatened quote consequences you have never faced in your history for quote anyone who tries to interfere with us. He reminded the world, if we needed to be reminded, that they have one of the most powerful nuclear states, an arsenal of obviously thousands of nuclear weapons of a variety of types. And they have a certain advantage in several cutting edge weapons, which could just be generalized bragging about the fact that they have thousands of nukes or some reference to hypersonic nuclear ICBMs or something like that. In any event, he said that there should be no doubt that any potential aggressor will face defeat and ominous consequences should it directly attack our country. So, generalized threats specifically about the potential deployment of nuclear weapons. So yes, Jeff, things have escalated quite a bit throughout this week.
Yeah, you know, I look at that video and that is dystopian. I mean, that is everything essentially that we have feared from this potential conflict turning into an actual conflict. And going back and referencing that map, you're right. It's not in just the Donetsk and Luhansk regions that they declared to be independent states. No, they're attacking a sovereign state. The rest of the country is under assault.
Yeah.
And it really is just a horrible, terrifying situation, especially once again, going back to the people of Ukraine who are suffering under this. It really is a terrible situation. And going back to the threats that Putin is making, I mean, I could think of part of that is especially like, oh, you know, we're going to make bellicose threats, as most, I think, world leaders generally do. You can only go back to the kind of threats that Donald Trump would make: my button bigger than your button. Not quite as, you know, I don't quite know the word that I'm looking for on that, but much more of a measured response from Putin than would than Trump. But then you can also go back to, you know, things that George W. Bush, Obama, with the red lines, and so you can expect a little bit of bellicose rhetoric. But at the same time, that is scary, because there is the threats of nuclear war, and that is the thing that can basically destroy humanity several times over if there is a prolonged nuclear, you know, exchange. And I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen or has a big chance of happening, but any even a small little chance. Look, I love playing the game Fallout. I don't want to live in it. If there's a 1% chance of that happening, I'm not at all interested.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in modern warfare. I'm not interested in any of this, obviously.
No Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't interested when Trump was promising fire and fury and everything. I am not interested in disconnected, like, insane billionaires gambling with our lives as the currency, just so that they can feel powerful. And don't like it when it's Trump, don't like it when it's Putin. Feel some sort of obligation to be against both of those, actually. And right. Obama as well, and George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. If you're against war, if you're against imperialism, you should be against all of it and not have like a little star and then maybe references to specifically where it applies. No, all of it, actually.
Yeah, no asterisks here.
Exactly. Biden, who will be speaking later on today, responded in real time saying Mr. Putin had chosen a premeditated war that will bring a catastrophic loss of life and human suffering. He has made clear, as he did prior to this, that no American troops will be sent to Ukraine. His European allies have taken the same position. So that has been the message from the beginning. They are not sending troops in. In any event, I do want to let you know about a few things that have been developing before we went live. Including news of Ukrainian forces battling Russian forces in Chernobyl. They are saying there's concern about the possible breach of the dome that has sealed in the material there. Again, these are the sorts of things that in the literal heat of battle, who knows how accurate that is. Another thing to potentially be worried about. There are also protests going on inside Russia against the war. One reporter, a Moscow reporter, said there were over 1,000 people in an anti-war protest. I saw other reports, although again, do not consider these confirmed in the first day of a war, that over 400 people at those Russian protests had been hauled away and arrested. So bear that in mind. Also reports of Poland letting in Ukrainians without documents. Again, do not consider any of these massively confirmed at this point. But in any event, we're all just trying to catch up, trying to understand what is happening, where this is likely to go. Because of Vladimir Putin, who can move from one day of, you know, peacekeeping forces will be deployed to bombing the presidential mansion and invading, you know, God only knows what next week could bring. Any other thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, let me just go back to peacekeeping. I love how they call them peacekeeping forces. Has peacekeeping forces ever been not a euphemism for just normal soldiers? Because it seems to be whenever they're in somewhere to so-called keep the peace, they never seem to keep the peace. Very strange.
Yeah, I noticed that pattern. Someone in the chat is saying, according to CNN, Chernobyl has been seized by Russian troops. So take that for what it's worth. Thank you.
Let me just add one more thing too on the Russian protest. That's really good to see, actually. I saw the videos of that. And again, you know, grain of salt, but on how widespread that they are. But if there's enough people that are openly defying Vladimir Putin, it kind of shows that maybe there's a spark of hope here, and that the Russian people have as much of a distaste in having a war in Ukraine as the American people. Because, you know, you look at some of the polls, very few Americans want, you know, any sort of war in Ukraine, especially for us to be able to get involved. And so I take that as a good sign of just the war weariness of the world. Been through too much, too many wars, too many conflicts. And I'm hoping maybe that some of that pressure might get to Vladimir Putin. Again, assuming he's a rational actor, which again, that's in doubt now. But I am hoping that there is some impact, some effect by seeing maybe not just isolated protests, but seeing a more anti-war organic protest movement growing in Russia and in other
countries. I hope that you're right. I don't necessarily believe that that might end up being very optimistic, but you know what? Today, I'll take some optimism.
We need it.
Oh, especially with how some have, well, you know, been effectively like laying the groundwork for this, apologizing in advance of an invasion. But anyway, the reaction, I want everyone to be ready for what you're about to see coming out of the media about this, because things are going to get wild.
Dangerous, as you told me about the amphibious attack by Americans. You shouldn't be saying that, because you and everybody else shouldn't know about it. They should do that secretly, not be doing that through the great Laura Ingraham. They should be doing that secretly. Nobody should know that, Laura. And you know,
those are the Russian amphibious landing.
No, I thought you said that we were sending people in.
Oh, no, okay. I did not. No. That would be news.
Know what? Hey, that's all we need. That'll be next. Okay.
No, you're not crazy. You did hear that correctly. In real time, former President Donald Trump stopped playing golf for a bit, put down the hamburger, and called into Fox News to respond to the launch of a war. And he believed somehow that American forces were landing in Ukraine in the middle of a war. And he was concerned about that, but really just that Laura Ingraham had spoiled it to the world. He didn't think that was significant. He didn't demand some sort of confirmation for that. This is a guy, they still get like intelligence reports out once they're out of office. He can call up military commanders, people tapped in, senators. And he just assumed, oh, I think I heard that US forces were launching. So I think you're being irresponsible and spoiling it. We should really hope that they're more successful, that they move in, that they wipe out the Russian forces. This is a madman, Jeff, and a madman who is, and I'll just say this because I want people to be prepared, likely to be the commander in chief again in a couple of years. So bear that in mind.
Yeah, you know, my favorite part about that is that this is the so-called anti-war prep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, American forces are going, well, they shouldn't tell anybody. That's his message. Oh, you shouldn't have spoiled it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you're the anti-war president, why aren't you saying, oh, that would be a bad thing. I can't believe Biden would do something like that. What a terrible leader getting us into another war. No, he doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
Because he's never really been anti-war. He just says that because it's a populist position. And so he's disingenuous about pretty much everything that he says. And to boot, he's just incredibly stupid. He's not a smart person. Not the smartest person. Not the greatest, most tremendous
he
person.
Is not.
He's not a very stable genius at all.
No.
Nothing in that phrase is true.
No, not at all. So you can see in the way that he attempted to cover himself after it, saying, I hope that they don't, because that's the last thing we need. You were totally cool with it 8 seconds ago. Your only concern that you stated was that we're giving away the game.
Eight seconds is honestly an eternity.
Exactly. I don't have much expectations for him. Laura Ingraham corrected him, so that's good. Doesn't seem bothered by the mistake that he made. And honestly, it's hardly the worst comment that happened on her program. So we're gonna go to a little bit more of her commentary, because as of right now, that's effectively what we have out of Fox News, is her real-time response to it. It's gonna be developing fast throughout the day, but Here's a little bit of her commentary in response to Volodymyr Zelensky putting out a comment last night before the war, directly to the people of Russia saying, please put pressure on your leaders. We do not want a war. I know that you don't want a war. Here is how Laura Ingraham responded to those overtures.
Get a kind of a really pathetic display from the Ukrainian president Zelensky earlier today, President Trump, where he in Russian, he doesn't like to speak Russian, but in Russian, he was essentially imploring Vladimir Putin not to invade his country. In now we basically have the Ukrainian ambassador to the United Nations looking like a defeated man. Your final reaction?
Well, I think the whole thing again would have never happened. It shouldn't happen. And it's a very sad thing. But
yeah, that's enough of his final reaction. It would be bad enough if he had done that speech pre-invasion, desperately appealing to the people, do not start this war that is going to be devastating. Many people will die and it could spark something even wider. And she had said that's a pathetic display. They were in the process of being invaded. Ukrainians had already died. Buildings had already been leveled by Russian missiles. They're terrified about what's going to happen. And she said in response to that, it was a pathetic display for him to appeal for peace. This is the supposedly, again, as you said, anti-war network who thinks that diplomatic appeals for peace are pathetic displays.
They can't help themselves, John. They can't help themselves. They love strongmen. They love dictators. They love autocrats. They love, like, oh, oppress me harder, daddy. That's essentially what the Republican Party has turned into. And Fox News cheerleading for the Russians to come in and invade a sovereign country. Mm-hmm. I mean, just seeing that, it's sickening. It's incredible. And not only that, but they're also arguing, ironically, the you know, pro-America network arguing against, what is it, the American position, because they disagree with Joe Biden. And that's simply what it is, too, to own the libs. Letting Russia take over Ukraine to own the libs. Mm-hmm. That's their priority.
Absolutely. And again, like as we said many times, the most important thing, really the only important thing, is the people who are suffering right now and trying to not have it go any broader than it already has. But at the same time, I'm a flawed human being. And so I can't help but also want that some of the people who have been so like aggressively, toxically horrible on this issue and that are in the process of doubling down on it as the invasion started, could once admit that they were wrong, change course. There have been so many horrendous, horrendous takes. And no, there's not gonna be any of that. I'm not playing the video. Trump would go on to say that the reason this invasion is happening is because of the rigged election in 2020. There is just a nonstop assault on your sanity from the worst people in history, trying to drive you crazy, to drive you out of paying attention to politics. I apologize for it. We try to fight back against it, but it is just never ending.
Yeah, let me just say too, Fox News. Yeah, Fox News, the number one rule of conservatives is to never admit that you were wrong. And so they follow that. Oh yeah, no, of course we're right. We're always right, 100% right. And we've never ever made a mistake in our entire career. Whatever you see, that's just fake news. That's the fake news media trying to gaslight you again. You know how the left is. They're going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the average Ukrainian here, I read some pretty heartbreaking accounts, you know, from people talking to reporters. And this is what's happening on the ground. And people are dying. You know, people are fleeing for their lives. They're terrified. You know, when you see missiles and helicopters and jets, bombers flying overhead, I can't imagine the type of dread that it would instill into the pit of your stomach to see this going on and knowing that, or not knowing, what if they start to release bombs on my house? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen today? Who do I know in my family that's going to not make it out of this alive. And that's just the terror that I hope no American or no anyone, you know, whatever should ever have to feel in my ideal world, right? But man, sometimes seeing Fox News' reactions, I admit sometimes I'm a bad guy. And I think maybe they should have to feel it for just the least few seconds, you know, just to understand.
There are no consequences, at least in this life, unfortunately. So everyone buckle up. Today's gonna get wild, not just in terms of the real life cost, but the attempts to spin it. Like, you think you're ready for how Tucker Carlson is gonna respond to an all out invasion of Ukraine? You are not ready. You are not prepared.
Anyway,
we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're gonna move to some other concerns, which we're obviously going to be keeping an eye on this, and there will be a lot more coverage on the network. But understand that while we might not be talking about it for the rest of the show, obviously our hearts go out to the people that are currently suffering. So with that said, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. We are back. I'm John Adirola. This is the Damage Report. Very lucky to be joined by Jeff Waldorf. Jeff, if people are not familiar with your work, what do you generally tend to cover? What do you consider your beat, and where can people watch what you do?
I really like talking about conspiracy theories and debunking them. And also just generally dunking on conservatives and their constant stream of madness. So you know, if you're into watching that, and seeing what all sorts of insane things people are saying, you can watch my show. That's live at 4 p.m. Eastern over on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Waldorf Nation, of course, on YouTube, Jeff Waldorf Show on Facebook, and of course, twitch.tv/Jeff_Waldorf. You can check those out. We'll go live today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. Well, we're going to give people a taste of one of those areas, actually multiple. We're going to have some conspiracy theories. We're definitely going to have some awful people that you are going to be free to dunk on. This is a block where we're going to talk about the ongoing culture war against the trans community, where the GOP is weaponizing people's fear and suspicion of the trans community to keep them in power. It is absolutely disgusting, absolutely craven. Here's an example of it.
It's straight evil. First off, if I was a parent and my fifth grade daughter had to sleep and shower in some kind of cabin at some summer camp that I paid money to send my child to, and there was a man calling himself a woman sleeping in her cabin, showering with her, he'd be in jail. He would be in jail. Well, first off, my husband would have beat him into the ground, and then he'd be in jail. But this is exactly how we need to stand up against this stuff. And then the men, this guy, Leah Thompson, I'm sorry, that's William, and he's not a she, he's a he. He should not be competing in women's swimming. No, but here's what we have to do. We have to draw the line in the sand and say we are not willing to cross it. This is such perversion, but it's also grooming children. It's grooming them to believe things that are lies and that are completely wrong. No, children are not born a certain way thinking they're another gender. It's their parents that are training them that way. It's these mothers that think it's like a handbag. They need to have a boy, a girl, and a trans child, like as if there's some kind of accessory.
A status, exactly. It's like Hollywood stars and all the things they've engaged in, exactly.
So that is two absolutely sick individuals, Alex Jones and Marjorie Greene. I don't know if Marjorie Greene, who ostensibly is an elected congresswoman, she doesn't seem to care about that position and doesn't have access to committee hearings and things like that. Maybe she's trying out for his co-host, I don't know. But they decided that they would team up to talk about how not only trans people should be locked up, but before you lock them up, she spoke favorably about her husband beating a trans woman in this case. So that is an elected congresswoman fantasizing about violence against a community that already experiences an absolute epidemic of violence on a daily basis, which generally is ignored. Now she is encouraging more of it, Jeff.
Yeah, look, I already originally thought the dead naming was bad enough, but now we're at violence. Now we're at encouraging violence against a community that already sees, as you pointed out, an incredible amount of violence. This cannot end well, but understand that that's exactly what they're trying to do. That's exactly what their goal is to try to fearmonger against the trans community. They used to do it to the gay community, now they're doing it to the trans community, and now, of course, they're using it as a way to try to stay in power, essentially, by scaring the crap out of people by saying things that are fundamentally untrue. She goes and talks about how, oh, it's the grooming of the children. No. Oh, it's the parents that are doing it. Now, what's interesting about that is, John, you and I have probably covered about how conservatives have been saying, oh, well, the parents need to choose what books they have in their classroom, well, what kind of education they get. Well, they seem to trust the parents on that, but yet also are making the assertion that the parents are now forcing people to be trans. Mm-hmm. What a ridiculous and counterfactual argument. And it's also counter to their own arguments about, hey, we should give parental rights and we should have more respect 100%. For choices.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I'm glad that you bring that up. We're gonna talk more about Texas in just a little bit. But the reason I want to make sure that we cover both of these stories is that, like, most of the people who watch our show are they are regular, normal, sane people. They don't spend a lot of time watching InfoWars or The Daily Wire or The Daily Caller and stuff. So you may not understand that this is a constant thing. They talk about the trans community on literally a daily basis. Never to the community, by the way. You will never see them bringing on a trans activist or a regular trans person to talk about their life experience because they're not interested in learning, evolving, developing empathy, and they certainly don't want to be a platform for their viewers doing that. No, they talk at their base about the community, demonizing and inspiring not just, you know, a lack of respect for the inherent human worth of these individuals, but no, you can beat them. You can be, well, if you just find out that a person is trans, you should beat them. Think about how you've got a congresswoman talking about how cool it would be if her husband beat someone. And there's probably not going to be any response. We're covering this. I'm sure anyone who comes across the story is going to be disgusted by it, but it is just the latest horrendous violent thing coming out of Marjorie Greene's mouth. Is Nancy Pelosi going to censure her over this? Standing in solidarity with the trans community? Can we even spare the time every day for the constant violent rhetoric coming out of Marjorie Greene's mouth? And by the way, again, this is just raising awareness. I'm not calling for anyone's shows to be taken down. Alex Jones, by the way, is technically banned from Spotify, showing that Spotify can ban shows when they want to. But if you go on Spotify, you can still see full versions of a show. He is technically banned, but they are still allowed to upload. You can see multiple versions of it that people upload. So they are providing a platform for calls for violence against the trans community. Any other thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, going back to how they have to fearmonger about this stuff because they literally have nothing else. I mean, do you ever hear Alex Jones and Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about actual workers, the needs of workers, wages, things like that? I know every once in a while, Marjorie Taylor Greene will come up with this insane thing called corporate communism, which again makes absolutely no sense. And then we'll support the, you know, Canadian truckers, many of whom are not actually truckers, at least the organizers were, and were members of white nationalist neo-Nazi movements that weren't at all in favor of things like, I don't know, higher wages, better working conditions, and things that would actually help real Canadian truckers on the ground. And so they would support things like that, those movements, but they don't actually support regular working people. What is one thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has actually tried to accomplish for the average American worker? Nothing. You can't come up with anything, and she can't do anything anyway because she has no committee assignments because she got kicked off all of them. And so that's all they have to default to. And by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene says she has nothing to do. That's why she's always on these different shows. That's why she's constantly talking to Steve Bannon, constantly talking to now Alex Jones, which, by the way, that is a marriage created in hell right there.
Yeah.
Where you have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alex Jones on the same show. They're going to talk about the next new conspiracy theory. And maybe they bonded over their love of anti-Semitic laser forest fire conspiracies. I don't know. But I know is that it is bad for the trans people, for the trans community who is already facing so much hate and discrimination. And 100%. It's going to get worse for them.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Bear in mind, she thinks that it is inherently dangerous to have a trans person near a kid. She traveled to DC to stalk the teen survivors of mass shootings. Greg Abbott is continuing his absolutely disgusting campaign against trans kids inside of Texas. Take a look at this. It's a letter from the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services that they sent out just yesterday. Greg Abbott wrote that, quote, a number of so-called sex change procedures constitute child abuse under existing Texas law, and directed the agency to, quote, conduct a prompt and thorough investigation of any instances of a wide variety of elective procedures for gender transitioning, including reassignment surgeries, mastectomies, removals of otherwise healthy body parts, and administration of puberty blocking drugs. That letter was shared to a number of different government agencies inside of Texas and states that people in certain occupations, like doctors and teachers, have a duty to report any of these instances of care for trans youth, DFPS, or risk criminal penalties. So again, it is the Karenization of politics. It is the creation of everyone is obligated and incentivized financially to snitch on anyone living their life. And in this case, if you are a parent of a trans kid and you accept and love and understand your kid, if you are helping them to live the life that they want to live, you are going to be hounded and hunted down by any doctor who finds out about this, any government employee who finds out about this. You are going to have to live your life in fear. That is the political culture that they are building there in Texas, Jeff.
Yeah, it's almost Orwellian when you think about it. Turning neighbors, friends against each other, all over, you know, this insane culture war issue of trying to go and attack trans people. And again, all the stuff, you know, you read through the letter and it's filled with massive misconception, right? And it's all couched in, but we got to protect the children. We got to protect the children. Well, the people who are most at risk are trans youth that are getting bullied and attacked in schools. And they have higher risks of suicide and anxiety and depression, not as a result of inherently being trans. It's about how they're being treated for being trans, for being just who they are. And of course, the misconceptions about things like puberty blockers, which, by the way, are not permanent. You can stop those. And then all they do is delay the onset. You can stop it at any time when you've made a decision. Hormones, you can also stop at any time. And nobody under 18, at least it's incredibly, incredibly rare, can get the gender sex reassignment surgery. And so what they're
it's an invented fantasy that they're using to scare people.
Yes, massive scaremonger tactics and just using, and once again, we've seen this, the rhetoric before when it came to the gay community, how they're grooming children, it's a danger to children. It's the children that are at risk. And once again, it is just harming the most at-risk children. And so you really want to protect the children, maybe you should keep them away from Republicans.
Exactly. Yeah, and by the way, I'm glad that you mentioned the thing about the lie that they're telling about the puberty-blocking drugs. They are pretending that all we're trying to do is stop them from having irreversible decisions made before they reach 18. That is a very clever little sleight of hand. Because of course, what they're trying to stop people from doing is taking puberty blocking drugs, which they are reversible, block them from doing it so that they will experience puberty, which is far less reversible. And they know that that's the entire point. By the way, I want to read this comment here from Twitter account Trungles, who says, most queer kids have at some point in their childhood considered the possibility that they might have to go it alone in case their coming out goes badly. And now Abbott wants to deprive the trans kids who do have loving parents of their family support, just evil. Goes on to say, pro-family, unless a family loves their trans kids. And all of this has nothing to do with concern. They don't care at all about these people. It is the ultimate example of the culture war. People throw that term around. I try to be very careful about what I mean when I use a term like that. Generally, what I consider to be the most disgusting culture war topics are things that matter in no way to the people launching the attacks, but can be the most important life and death issues to the people who will suffer as a result of the fake artificial elevation of this issue. That is what they're doing. They're doing it to maintain their political power. They don't care about the cost in terms of suffering and lack of acceptance, the potential rise in suicides that could result from a thing like this. They don't care at all. And if you're a conservative watching this, I understand there's a good chance you love this and you think, finally, we've got a governor who cares about the issues I care about. I've been ignored by politicians for so long. But bear in mind, when you used to talk about being ignored, I don't remember them all saying, none of these coastal elites get what I think about trans kids. You pretended it was economic. And what, is your mortgage more secure if they stop kids from taking puberty blocking drugs? Your wage is gonna go up. You don't have to worry about medical bankruptcy if they stop these kids from being accepted by their families, by the state. How is your life improved as a result of this? You know that this is a con, that you're being played. Wake up, Jesus. Final thoughts, Jeff.
Greg Abbott, this entire attack on trans people, once again, it's not about protecting children. It's really about trying to protect Greg Abbott, as you said, because he doesn't like to protect people in Texas when it comes to winter storms, when it comes to losing their heat and electricity. So, yeah, you know, they need a little bit of a distraction away from the failures of their actual government.
Exactly. Oh, and we'll be talking about those energy issues as well. We've got a lot more to come. Everybody, don't go anywhere. Jeff and I'll be right back. Bernie the Kiwi Dragon says, so the surgeries are child abuse, but gay conversion therapies aren't. The hypocrisy is endless. Shout out to Jeff. I can't always catch your show, but your cool, collected insight is appreciated.
Thank you.
I like it. Anthony says, another Lord of the Rings reference. When Wormtongue accused Gandalf of lying, the wizard replied, the untrustworthy are ever mistrustful. Grima was a right winger. Definitely, definitely. Also, I don't remember the name of the guy in the Hobbit ones, but similar reasons. Anyway, oh, by the way, people are calling out, if you want to donate. We're gonna try to curate some good ways to help in Ukraine, but the Trevor Project, obviously domestically, considering the stories that we've been talking about today. Okay, everyone, prepare yourself. We're still on Texas news. Oh, it's gonna be rough in a couple of different areas, but let's talk about this. Back during the 2020 racial justice and criminal justice protests that were going on, there was a wave of police violence and brutality against protesters. We saw this in Texas as well. And now here comes Republican Governor Greg Abbott to say those cops that have been identified for committing acts of police brutality in Austin, no, they're actually great. And you know what? Maybe there shouldn't be any consequences whatsoever for them. He said just yesterday that the indictment of 19 Austin police officers on assault charges stemming from those protests back in May of 2020 are wrong. And he dangled the possibility of potential pardons for them, going way out of his way to protect them from consequences which we know from long experience are very rare when it comes to cops committing acts of violence like this. They shot and injured one woman back during those protests. I mean, this is as bad effectively as it gets in this anti-protest violence. And so, by the way, one of them who we will focus more on in a little bit is a Texas House candidate now, Justin Barry. He was one of those police officers attacking protesters just a couple of years ago. Anyway, Jeff, what do you think? Pardons for cops? I mean, it's certainly precedented. Trump would talk this same way about cops using violence against protesters just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's really par for the course at this point. Of course, they're going to defend police only, of course, when they crack Black Lives Matter protesters' skulls. When it comes to January 6th rioters, then that's when the cops are bad. Mm-hmm. That's when they actually hoist up their ACAB flag, you know, ironically. Mm-hmm. But generally, no, it really matters to them who the cops go after. And any protests against racial justice, any protests against pipelines or big corporations, banks, the right wing is always going to support cops cracking heads because exactly. they are authoritarians at heart. As I said earlier today, oppress me harder, daddy. That is, the tagline for the Republican Party, and not just oppress me, but oppress everyone else. That doesn't
work. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, but by the way, when you get into the power structure on the Republican side, not a fan of any sort of consequences, clearly. We'll have a story a little bit later on in the show about that. But no, if it's putting down a left-wing protest, that's what they're there for. Right-wing protests, obviously hands off and everything. I believe in consistency. Don't needlessly attack protesters of any variety, but they've been able to draw a little bit more fine lines there. Anyway, each officer currently faces two counts of aggravated assault, a first degree felony when committed by a law enforcement officer, punishable by up to 99 years in prison or a fine of up to $10,000. Abbott says those officers should be praised for their efforts, not prosecuted. Time will tell whether the accusations against the courageous Austin police officers is a political sham. Oh, he's not weighing in at all now, though. Time will also tell whether I, as governor, must take action to exonerate any police officer unjustly persecuted. Unjustly persecuted means that you are one of the 1%, 0.1% of cops that face anything like consequences for your actions. If you're one of those who slips through the cracks of the incredibly protective shield that stops justice from coming for law enforcement officers, then you've been prosecuted and you will be protected by Greg Abbott. That's what he's saying to us. Unfortunately, we are rapidly running out of hours, so we're gonna jump ahead to our next story. We're not done with Greg Abbott though. Everyone, hold on to your butts. Greg Abbott is now facing accusations that, in addition to the deaths that occurred during the horrendous winter storm last year when the Texas power grid failed, predictably because regulations were not in place to force them to weatherize against the weather that was coming. Not only did people die, but there were also, in the wake of it, incredibly high energy costs. Who's responsible for that? Well, according to people who would know, Greg Abbott himself. And he is now being attacked over this issue by people like Beto O'Rourke, who of course is hoping to unseat Greg Abbott, with Beto O'Rourke saying this governor isn't looking out for us. He said Abbott screwed us and he'll continue to screw us until we vote him out. And so what is this all about? Well, Bill Magnus is the former CEO of what's known as ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that said that as power plants were starting to come back online, Abbott said we need to do whatever is necessary to stop more blackouts. So what we do is we absolutely jack up power prices. And so they went at one point, people are saying as much as 100 times the occasional minimum price. That was according to him. Now, I like the idea of not wanting there to be blackouts to stop people from dying. There are, let's admit, other ways to do that, including putting the financial onus not on the buyers of the energy, but on the providers of it, having them actually weatherize their system so that they can survive this sort of weather. But that is not the direction they went in ahead of this storm, and they haven't done it in the year since either, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, the funniest thing about that name is it's the Reliability Council. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very reliable. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's just a tiny flurry, it seems like that power system just inevitably implode and people are stuck holding the bag, holding the bill. And again, it's because of Texas's deregulated power grid, making sure that these power providers can jack up the price as much as they want. And no one will put a stop to it. And apparently Greg Abbott thinks, hey, that's great. Yes, let's gouge the people during an emergency. Wonderful, but we're only doing it so that we can keep the power on. Really, you can't keep the power on without jacking up the price? Is that a prerequisite? Like, oh, sorry, I can't push the button, the hypothetical button to keep the power on, unless we jack up the price to an incredibly expensive, thing where nobody will be able to actually afford, and will make me look terrible. But you know what, corporations, energy companies, we prefer them. So let's just go ahead with that. Great idea.
And I'm sure people remember the absolutely massive bills that people were getting, because it's not like you, as the price was jacked up, you had to opt into the higher price. You just hit by absolutely massive bills. People in the chat are saying they're still paying double all this time after. And again, it's not just about this as the choice. It's that they ignored the warnings that came for years leading up to this. There had been other instances like this. They might not have killed 250 people or done nearly $300 billion in damage, but the warnings were out there. And to not make changes afterward is even more indefensible. This is an absolutely abhorrent position that he took. He has done nothing to make good on it.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.